Awesome, awesome, awesome. Merry Christmas, everybody. Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. God bless you. You may be seated this morning. I just want to encourage all of you. I know that your life is busy, and I know that you are involved in lots of things. And if you're like me, you have lots of family and lots of friends and lots of people you care about. But I want us to really think about, as we give into this car situation, some of you could give $1,000, some of you could give $5. It doesn't matter where you give, just give, and let's bless somebody this Christmas. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive, and so let's pour into this Christmas, and so make sure you drop some money in those envelopes. We have a short time to do this, and it's going to be a blessing to this person, and we love the kingdom of God. How many love the kingdom of God? Yeah. I just want to share with you real quick, if I can get just a moment of your time before I preach my message today. I think the passage in John 3:16 is oftentimes quoted but overlooked. I'm going to say that one more time. I think the passage in John 3:16 is often quoted but overlooked. When the word of the Lord says, "For God so loved the world that he gave," There's no greater gift in all the world than what God gave to us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Then the next passage of Scripture says, "For God came into the world not to condemn the world, not to bring judgment into the world, not to bring ridicule in the world, not to point the finger at someone else, but he came into the world so that you can have life." He didn't come to condemn. He came to heal, to deliver, to set free. Now, here's the deal. God's chosen us. God's chosen us. I want you to put your hands right here and say, "God's chosen me. God's chosen me to be a gift giver." We're not just receivers, we're gift givers. And so I don't know what Christmas means to you, but here's what I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you that Christmas is not about Santa Claus, and not about Rudolph, and not about eating way too much food. But Christmas is about you becoming a gift to the world. As Christ became a gift to us, let's be a gift to the world. You say, "Well, Pastor, what do you want me to do?" I want you to share those things that we talked about already today, that Jason's already spoke of. Peace, joy. Peace, joy, and Holy Spirit. I want you to become that gift to the world, to everybody you see. But let's just don't do it for Christmas. Let's live our lives as a gift to the world. Amen. But at Christmas time, let's highlight who God created us and wants us to do and wants us to be. And listen, I'm just going to say, by nature, John said this, John 1, Jim was speaking of this last night, by nature, we become very selfish. By nature. But let's lay down our selfishness for the cause and the glory of God. Can I get a better amen this morning? Amen. So as you give, I want you to not only just give to this car, but I want you to give to people the joy of Christmas. And that was so in my heart this morning. Today I'm going to talk about Isaiah 9, which is our theme for this year. Isaiah 9, it says, "For unto us is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called," and I want you to say it with me, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And for the increase of his government and the peace, there will be no end." I mean, I could preach right there on that for a long time. The never ending. It doesn't have a limit. It doesn't have a time cut off. It's not just for a moment, but somebody say forever. It's forever. Jason, it's forever. We live in these segments of time, but his peace is forever. Somebody ought to shout a big amen for that this morning. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness for this time forth and forevermore and forevermore. And the zeal of the Lord and the host will do this. I want us to just take a moment today and think about the kingdom of God. I want us to think about how wonderful and how marvelous is this kingdom. You're sitting here today with people that without the kingdom of God, you would not probably be acquainted with. But because of the kingdom of God and because of the body of Christ, he has brought us together this morning. Some of the greatest influences of my life are sitting among us here this morning. Some of the greatest influences in my life, some of the people who poured into my life more than anyone else is sitting in this room with us this morning. And it's all because of the kingdom of God. His kingdom connects people. His kingdom brings healing. His kingdom brings miracles. His kingdom is so enormous, so big, so huge. And sometimes we don't see the kingdom of God and all that it is because we don't see through the eyes of what he intended for it to be or what his purpose of the kingdom is. When we pray that kingdom come, are we praying just into the words of some words? Are we praying into the words of the prophet when he spoke and he said, and this will happen? Long before it happened, he said, this is going to happen. There will be a child. There will be a son given to us. There will be this Jesus, this baby born into the world that's going to be a world changer. So when we pray out of the New Testament, thy kingdom come, we're praying into the prophetic word of the prophet Isaiah. This Christ who would rule over our lives, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, would bring great peace and would bring great joy, and he would give us direction for our life. I'm glad today that I sit here this morning and the Lord began to speak to me, not about you, not about tomorrow, not about next week, but about a personal relationship that I have with him. Because in my worship this morning, I had a divine encounter with God. Come on, somebody. In my worship this morning, I had a connection with the Lord that doesn't come through any way but through his kingdom. Amen. Religious things go, you go, and you could go into a religious form of religion where you go through the calisthenics of going into worship, or you go through the motions of church services, or you go through whatever, and then you bow, you kneel, you jump, you stand, you holler, you scream, you do whatever, but when you walk away, has it transformed your life? Here's the question I'm asking you this morning, is when you encounter God and his kingdom, does it transform and change your life? There needs to be a transformation of the spirit in our life when we have an encounter with the kingdom of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. He becomes to us a counselor. He becomes to us a mighty God. He is an everlasting Father. He is a Prince of Peace. I know that in times past when I was a young man and I heard the word everlasting Father, it does not mean as much to me then as it does today. When I look at a world around us that are fatherless for the most part, we got a king who so loves the world that he becomes an everlasting father to a fatherless generation. Come on, somebody. You ought to get excited about Jesus this morning. There ought to be some excitement about the king this morning. He is my peace. He is my joy. He is my everything. Astronaut James Irwin is one of the few men who've walked on the moon. And as he looked at the earth, he thought of all the strife, and he thought of all the problems and nations against nations and all the poverty and all the hunger and all the rampant evil upon the earth. And he thought to himself, what's more important than man walking on the moon is that the Lord should walk upon the earth. Is that God should walk upon the earth. And he loved us so much, he came to dwell with us. He's not God, some God off in some foreign place, but he's God very present in our lives every single day. I'm moved by the presence of God since early this morning. I'm moved by the presence of God and his love. As he just encountered him that I get to do every single moment of my life. I get to have that encounter with God. Oh, how sweet it is. And when we pray the words, your kingdom come, do we have any idea what that looks like? Do we have any idea what it looks like when we say, Lord, let your kingdom come. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I know this is going to sound so Christmassy and so cliché, but have you really made room in your life for Jesus? Have you really made room in your life, in your everyday life, have you made room for an encounter with this Jesus? I know I say this all the time, and I'm probably going to say it until Jesus comes, but we get so busy with life. We get so busy with this earth. We get so busy with the things down here that our lives become so overwhelmed and so captivated by this very present moment that we forget about a kingdom that's so much greater than this. Oh, if we could see the kingdom of God and we understood the kingdom of God, it wouldn't be a task or an obligation or something that we would have to feel forced to do, but we would desire every day to be in His presence. We would desire every day to dwell with Him. We would desire every day to take that time in our life to say, God, You're more important than anything else in our life. I remember the Sunday morning that we had the governor here to speak, and we rolled out the red carpet. We had a work day. We cleaned the church from top to bottom. We had everything shining. Everything was spiffy. Everything was on task. We had the security team to this top measure. We had everybody in place. We had the worship team ready to go. Everything was on the mark because the governor was going to be here that Sunday. But sometimes we come so sloppy and so lazy and so lethargic when it comes to knowing that Jesus Christ, every day He never forgets me. Every day He's always on time. Every day He's faithful to me. Have I rolled out the red carpet in my life for a moment with the presence of God? Have I said, God, there's nothing more important than You. There's nothing that I desire more than to be in Your presence, God. There's nothing I desire more than Your anointing. There's nothing more important to me, God. Listen, I don't care what you do inside the kingdom of God. You can't do it without His presence. You can't sing without His presence. You can't teach without His presence. You can't preach without His presence. And I'm going to boil it down to your everyday life. You can't really live for God without spending time in His presence. If we walk through this life out of rules and regulations and just going through the mechanical things, Christianity, our life will be empty and void as if though we didn't know God. But when we spend time in His presence, there's something that supernaturally happens to our hearts and minds, our spirit. We need Him more. We need the presence of God more. Marriage is falling apart because there's no time in His presence. Children going by the wayside because there's no time in His presence. Our lives are in shambles. We see casualties every day because Jesus is nothing more than a Santa Claus in our lives. That we sit in His lap and want our Christmas gifts given, but when it comes time for His presence, we have no room in our lives. We're too busy for God. And I feel like God's saying today, make time for me. Make room in your life somewhere for me. Make room in your life for the supernatural. I don't want you to take what I'm about to say wrong, but sometimes you come to pastor or you go to a friend or you go to someone for counseling, and really the answer is just spend some time in the presence of God. You don't have a financial problem. You have a presence problem. You don't have a kid problem. You have a presence problem. You don't have a marriage problem. You have a presence problem. Because when God comes the center focus of your life, oh, does that mean that we're not going to go through difficult times? Yes, we are. Are we not going to have situations in our life? Yes, we are. Are there things that are not going to come up against us? Yes, there will be. But when He is King over our lives, we have confidence that He is our Counselor and that He is our Mighty God and that He is our Prince of Peace. Oh, somebody this morning, make room for God in our lives. We're chasing after the things of this world without taking the time to consider what our lives would be like if we would allow the kingdom to invade it. Would we allow a kingdom force that's greater than any other kingdom force to invade our lives? If we would allow the presence of God in our homes, we allow the presence of God in our car, allow the presence of God in our workspace, and kingdom would come and His purpose would be done. An encounter with God brings an encounter with heaven and then brings heaven to earth. And when you can live in an earthly place, then all of a sudden you live from glory to glory. I want to change the lives of somebody here this morning that's living from problem to living from glory to glory, from living from failure to living from glory to glory. In Him. When our life is not about living for tomorrow, our life is not about living for tomorrow. When it becomes about living for eternity, it changes our whole focus of life. If I'm just trying to live for tomorrow, if I'm just trying to live for the next day, if I'm just trying to live to get through life, my life is dull and boring and dried up and hardship and all those things. But when I'm living for eternity, I learn to look beyond the problems of this world. I look beyond the situations of life, and I look to a place where there will be no crying. There will be no sorrow. There will be no pain. I'm looking into eternity. And here's what happens when you start looking into eternity. You stop feeling sorry for yourself. Come on, somebody. You start looking around and you stop looking at yourself and you start saying, listen, I got something that's joy unspeakable. Let me share it with you. Come on, I got my Holy Spirit bus together and I got my spirit train together and I'm getting whatever gospel ship or whatever you want to ride on to heaven, and I'm getting everybody I can on board and I'm looking into eternity. I'm not worried about today. I'm looking for tomorrow. I'm looking for tomorrow. Let me just remind you today, Bufa, that this life is just short. It's just short. It's only for a moment. It withers away, and every day you pick up your phone and you look on the internet and you find, as I did this morning, as I picked up my phone and I looked on Facebook and I saw my friends' parents going on to be with the Lord, and I saw other people going on to be with the Lord. It only takes a moment and you breathe your last breath, but when you've got your focus on eternity, it doesn't matter about the last breath because you've just entered into the greatest of all things. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, let me just help you this morning. Your last breath ought to be your greatest breath when you're looking into eternity. Oh, if you're holding on to this world, let me tell you, it's going to disappoint you. If you're holding on to this world, it's going to fail you. But when you're looking to eternity, everything changes. Am I getting anybody's attention this morning? Am I helping somebody today? Here's what the scripture says, and I'm paraphrasing from Matthew 5. It says, you're happy if you're poor in spirit, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. You're happy if you mourn, for you shall be comforted. You're happy if you're meek, for you shall inherit the earth. You're happy if you hunger and thirst, for you shall be filled. You're happy if you're merciful, for you shall obtain mercy. You're happy if you're pure in heart, for you shall see God. You're happy if you're peaceful, for you shall be called the sons of God. You're happy if you're persecuted for righteous sakes, for yours is the kingdom of heaven. You're happy if you're reviled and persecuted, and those who say all evil against you or falsely make fun of you or take the name of the Lord in vain, and make sure that you're saying, hey, you're happy if you're persecuted for his sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they that are persecuted, you know, the prophets were persecuted. Those who've gone before. Well, Pastor, I just don't feel like we ought to go through that. Well, won't you tell Peter, James, and John that? Why don't you tell Jesus that? But you know what? They left this world rejoicing. Why? Because they were in the kingdom. And you got to get this morning. Hey, listen, they were happy to meet the Lord because they were a part of the kingdom of God. And when we understand the kingdom of God is greater than these few moments we have here on earth, we'll change our whole perspective of how we live. The joy of the Lord will be our strength. We'll have the glory of God upon us. We'll be rested in Him. We won't be striving. We won't be working so hard. We won't be trying to make it, because we've already made it. We look for happiness in this world and we only find out that it's nothing happy about it. It's not what it seems, but when we live our lives for His kingdom, we're truly at peace. I close with this today, Psalms 103. The word of the Lord says, the Lord has established His throne in the heavens and His kingdom rules over. And I'm going to tell you something today. His kingdom's already established. Just a little news break to you today. His kingdom is in order. His kingdom is perfect. Why? Because he's perfect. His kingdom is established. It's already there. It's already set in order. Then what's that mean to me? That means I need to step into the purpose and to the established kingdom of God. I thought you'd get more out of that than that. I need to understand that I'm not looking for a kingdom. This world may be today, tomorrow, gone, here, that craziness. But when I look to the established kingdom of God, I know that everything is well. Worship team, you can come. God has chosen us to dwell in a tabernacle. He has chosen to dwell in a tabernacle that wasn't made with hands. We have become his dwelling place. Oh, I wish you could understand this today. I wish this would make sense to you today. The residence of the Prince of Peace on earth is you. Come on, the residence. The residence of the Prince of Peace is you.
Right.
He has chosen you. Let me tell you something. Somebody said, well, I'm going to go to church because it's so peaceful there. Well, I understand what you're saying. But listen, the residence of the Holy Spirit, the residence of this earthly kingdom that God has established is in you. And he has chosen you a temple. A temple, Angela, not made with hands. He said, look, I'm going to put little Angela Murray out. And I'm going to establish my kingdom in the earth. Here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to pour myself out on you. I'm going to pour everything that I have, everything that I am, everything I ever want to accomplish on earth. I'm going to pour it on you. I'm going to pour it out on you. This is the temple of the Lord. What a privilege. What a privilege to understand, Luke, that God's chosen me. Not these walls. Because when the day comes, this building is going to burn with fervent heat. A tornado could come through tomorrow and take it down. A hurricane could rise up, a flood could take it away. But I'm going to tell you what can't be taken away. He's poured it into his people. And when we die with the Lord, guess what? He takes what he poured into and to the better place. Are you getting this morning? It never ends. It never ends. The residence of the Lord. So here's the question I leave with you this day. Have you made room in your life for the kingdom to be established? Is there room in your space, in your life? Is there room in the midst of your world for his kingdom to be established? I don't want to be mean or rude this morning, but I don't care about your calling. I don't care about your ministry, matter of fact, it don't even matter about your religion, because all of that's in vain without his presence. Are you getting that this morning? Well, I'm called, but are you presence driven? I'm called to be a worshiper, but are you presence driven? Time, room, place. When the Lord comes to you, is your life so busy that you have a sign on the door that says no room in the inn? Or when he comes to you, have you rolled out the welcome mat? I'll tell you a little story. So funny. When I was a kid, my dad had invited his big boss was going to be in town. Not his immediate or that immediate, but the one of the national bosses over the whole company was going to be visiting town, and he invited him to our house for dinner. And, of course, I was a little guy. And my mom said, "Now, Marvin, I'm going to put out the fine china tonight. Don't say anything about it." Well, you know what happened. We were sitting at the table, and I said, "Mr. Rhodes, we never get to eat on these plates. Sure glad you came." We go break out the fine china for our Lord every day. Or we just go give him the old paper plates that we can throw away. Don't take much of my time. I'll give you a microwave meal on Sunday, Lord. Or we go break out the fine china every day of our lives and set up the table. Say, "I welcome you to my table, Lord. You're always welcome here. You're always welcome here, God." Your presence is heaven to me, God. There's no place like this. I welcome you into my heart today, God. Can we bring the lights down? Thank you. Just bow your heads this morning. Look, I don't want to guilt you or shame you or manipulate you or any of those things today. I just want you to encounter with God. Here's the deal. Just because I've preached this today, if there's not a hunger in your heart for His presence, it'd just be words. Maybe this morning you're moved by the Holy Spirit. Today could be an encounter with God that would be life-changing for you forever. But I know one thing. Whether it's today, on the job tomorrow, at the house, at the shopping mall, at the deer stand, wherever it is that you are you available? Have you made room in your life to invite His kingdom in? That's the question.